Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools.
For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown.
Through its Fed Talks series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia students and Georgia schools.
This is John White.
And this is Craig Gears.
And this is Fed Talks with John and Craig.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Craig, and with me today is John, and we are continuing our conversation with Nate Schultz, our program manager with the Title IV Part A Student Support and Academic Enrichment Grant. And we've talked with Nate twice now about the grant, getting to know a little bit more about how the grant came about, what the funding looks like. And I think this time we'd like to focus more on also something we delved into a little bit, but like, what can you use the money on? Mm-hmm. And I think let's go back and refresh everybody's memories here. Nate, tell us, what are the three focus areas that Congress intended for this grant?
Sure, and thanks, Craig. It's great to be back with you and John. And under the Student Support and Academic Enrichment Grant, there are three main focus areas. The first is to provide students with well-rounded educational opportunities. The second is to create positive, safe, healthy learning environments for students. And then the third is to improve student instruction and learning through the effective use of technology.
Okay, very good. And the first one, man, it is so great because it really speaks to the whole child, which we mentioned the very first episode, and that concept being that we want to develop a child in his or her fullest capacity, meaning that it's not just math and language arts that should be a focus in school, but making sure that a child is well-rounded. You know, federal funds have been limited, I think, in the past, right. And this really is a unique opportunity, which I think is what Congress really intended. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit more about well-rounded educational opportunities. Now, isn't there some, like, percentage expectations? Yeah. I don't think we got that far into that with the funding discussion. So share a little bit about that.
And that's an important note. As school districts determine how they will use their funds, there is a lot of flexibility in the allowable use of the funds. However, there are some requirements, one of which is if they receive at least $30,000 in their annual grant award, then they have to spend at least 20% of that amount on the well-rounded educational opportunities. And then we'll get into the safe and healthy area, but they also have the same requirement that they have to spend at least 20% of their annual grant award towards the safe and healthy student initiatives. As it relates to the third area, effective use of technology, the law only states that they have to spend a portion of funds, so it doesn't have the same minimum cap for that.
Can I ask, can they spend beyond the 20% as long as they're meeting the minimums in the other categories?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they can exceed, you know, so depending on their needs and their budgets, they may have a higher amount in one of those three categories, but as long as they have the 20% in the first two.
Now, you mentioned 30,000 was a key threshold. Why?
Because that's actually required in law and specified in the statute.
If they're under 30, do they still have to follow those percentage requirements?
Those percentage requirements would not be applicable. However, they need to demonstrate that they're at least meeting one of the three grant areas of focus.
Okay. So you're saying that the grant amount might only be enough to address fully one of the three categories, and that's okay because they had a smaller amount than 30,000.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to back up a little bit because it just occurred to me that we may not have shared with our audience when these funds become available. Give us a little information on the availability of these funds.
Well, the funds are made available when they have to submit their consolidated application. Okay. Which for this past year, they were made available in July.
Okay.
So districts were able to begin their budgets and then submit those to the state for review and approval so they could begin spending those funds for this school year.
Okay. And they're actually good for a full year. So they get them in July, budget form, begin using them, and they can continue to use those same funds right through the
next July.
Correct.
Probably get another allocation, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
And actually, with federal funds, I think they're available till September.
So thinking a little bit about the funds that they receive and how they can use them, and specifically looking at the well-rounded educational opportunities, we talked earlier about it being more than just math, literacy, science, and social studies. And I think that's important to keep in mind, because this grant really does promote innovation and allow some outside-of-the-box thinking in terms of what districts want to do in their schools, as well as at the district level for any district initiatives. So for the well-rounded educational opportunities, the law states some specific activities, which include music, arts, drama, science, technology, engineering, math, as well as college and career readiness. And I think about one of the intents for both the Georgia Department of Education, as well as I think the Every Student Succeeds Act, and is that really to prepare students for success in college and careers. And we know that there's an increasing demand for specific skills and workforce readiness in our students. And I see this grant as being a perfect opportunity for schools and districts to allow students to improve those skills. So we've seen districts purchase supplies and prepare students for certain robotics programming, computer science, and really drill down into some specific career areas that may interest students and enhance the programming that the schools might be offering.
All right, and I know an important, with all of the federal programs, but a really important aspect is they aren't like little one-time flash in the pan opportunities for kids, because I think we all realize just a one little quick guest speaker to talk about music or something really isn't going to impact a child in a very profound way.
Right, because we want it to sustain.
Right.
We want the kids to be able to sustain.
It is the intention with all of these activities that they're really developed and they're robust and ongoing, right?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And I think that's where, thinking about this as a program is helpful. And how the districts and the schools will develop a program through this funding source that will be ongoing and that will continue to build both, I think, the school's capacity as well as the students.
Okay, and I know an important thing, especially for our audience, I think, is family and parent engagement. Is there a role within the well-rounded educational opportunities focus that allows for parents to also kind of gain some knowledge and opportunities to work with their kids in that area related to the grant?
Well, I can speak, some of the examples that we've seen and how that might address or allow the families to be involved. Mm-hmm. Certainly with the college and career readiness, we've seen examples where high schools and even middle schools are providing additional opportunities and activities for families to learn about the college admissions process. Okay. And how they can be involved in that to assist their students in career identification, as well as ACT, SAT, PSAT prep, so that way parents are more informed. Okay. And then also in some of the more rigorous courses, such as the advanced placement courses, certainly parents being involved in that advisement process and learning how they can prepare their students for more rigorous and advanced courses down the road.
So there's a connection. The parents of community, family, stakeholders are involved, and they can be supportive here.
Yeah, we've seen some pretty innovative things in the budgets that have come through in the plans around the well-rounded educational opportunities. I think there's room for growth still, because it is out of the box thinking, and
I mean people are still learning.
They're
exactly
still learning,
what
and they're kind of sometimes stuck in their federal programs box and not able to get out and really think creatively. But I think that's what this grant is meant to do, to create those little kiddos who are renaissance.
Yes, right, allowing a little bit of a mindset shift.
Let's move into the next area, which again is a really neat concept. The idea that these funds can be used for safe and healthy students. Talk to us a little bit more in depth about what that entails.
There's a broad spectrum of activities and initiatives that we've seen districts implementing in this area. They really have done a great job in not limiting themselves and thinking about how these funds can be used to meet this particular area, because historically, federal programs shied away from that social emotional and that behavioral stuff. Mental health area.
Why is that? You know, that's something we hear a lot.
Yeah, I know. And I think it's pretty clear that if kids don't feel well, have emotional issues, or aren't behaving, they're not going to be successful academically, or it's more challenging at least. So I agree with you, John. It's
definitely a connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we see more and more research that speaks exactly to what you said, Craig, in terms of the importance of mental health and social emotional learning for students and their social skills and being able to behave and handle certain situations in school. But also there's the physical and the nutrition and the health aspect of this grant.
Yeah.
And we know that physical activity goes hand in hand with engagement in school and with learning. So these are some of the areas where we've seen districts be able to apply these funds, whether it's through hiring of personnel that can provide more services and direct supports for the students through social, emotional, mental health. So again, whether it's counselors or whether it's specialized therapists that are brought in to provide those wraparound services for students.
Okay, I want to pause for a minute because you said something that made me think of something, and that is the whole supplement, not supplant.
Mm-hmm.
You've mentioned a whole lot of things you can do with these funds, but talk to us a little bit about, it has to be extra stuff, right?
Right. Just like most other federal programs, Title IVA, the Student Support and Academic Enrichment, must be supplemental. So as we know, that essentially means it has to be in addition to what was already there and in existence prior to receiving these funds.
So in real terms, that means if I'm operating a program at my middle school and we already have a counselor who we've already hired and with maybe our state funds to work with kids on behavior, we can't now start paying for that person with these funds.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. But could we hire another counselor if we had the need?
If there was a need.
Okay. So in that sense, it's always another layer on
in
top of what's
to,
already
okay.
there. Yeah, and it's interesting. How many times have we heard that when kids come to school hungry, and they're not eating well, that they can't focus and they don't perform well academically? I think that's obviously what Congress intended purposes of the grant is to really talk to parents. Well, and again, that's a great opportunity for parents to be involved, right? About nutrition and its importance.
And specifically, while, you know, the funds may not be used to actually pay for meals or, food for the students, family engagement is one of the areas under Safe and Healthy Students that the law specifically states to include families in terms of making sure that the students have a strong, supportive environment to encourage their learning as well.
Okay.
Right, so we've talked a little bit about the first two, well-rounded educational activities and then safe and healthy classrooms and schools. Mm-hmm. So that third activity, the third purpose of the grant that you mentioned before was that use of technology and exposure to technology. I'm sure the districts are comfortable, maybe a little more comfortable, thinking differently about that. Do you have some examples of how that's been used?
And with the third area, the effective use of technology, the intent is really on improving student instruction as well as school district capacity in utilizing technology. You know, certainly we can, talk a lot about how technology has advanced over the past however many years to improve instruction. But we want to make sure that teachers are using the different technology, the devices, the tablets, the software, and the different platforms now to really improve learning and improve instruction. And an example of that is being able to really differentiate instruction based upon the data that they can now collect through technology and almost have instant feedback on student progress to be able to improve the instruction for different students.
John, I think the grant uses the exact words personalized learning, which I think speaks to what Nate was just talking about, of really understanding through data what the kids need and then using technology to really personalize that student's learning, whether it's to advance them way above where they are or to bring them up through remediation. So personalized learning, I think, is what they...
Yeah, and it also talks about the benefit of technology also to increase collaboration with staff and speaks to open educational resources to increase the opportunity for students to learn and also improve how staff are working together in sharing of resources and collaborating to improve student instruction.
Can the funds be used to help teachers know how to use this new technology that they're purchasing?
Yes, we see several districts have taken advantage of that and using the funds for professional development and staff training, whether it's through attending workshops and trainings or having individuals work with their teachers to better understand the different technology opportunities available to them.
I think we've run out of time. This has been it's a pretty deep conversation when you start talking about these three focus areas, but we appreciate your time with us today, Nate, and we will ask you to come back one more time if you would, and we'll wrap up this series on the Title IV Part A grant. So thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time.